Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Danny Cola. In today's episode, I interview Chris Chamberlain from Weck Method on Instagram as Eroding Weakness. In today's episode, we talk all about the rotational movement course and the Weck Method qualification course that will be going on July 12th, 13th, and 14th at Underground Fitness Studio in Park Ridge, Illinois. I'm very excited to be hosting this event and interacting with high-level coaches and learning new training philosophies that will complement what we already know so that we can better serve our community. Follow Chris and David on Instagram. Chris's Instagram is Eroding Weakness, and David Weck, his Instagram is The David Weck. And of course, follow Weck Method Instagram for all information regarding the rotational movement course and the Weck Method qualification course. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast, because I know I enjoyed having this conversation.
All right, Chris Chamberlain, Weck Method. What's going on, dude?
Hey, how you doing, Danny?
Very good, man. Yeah, happy to have you here. You're somebody that I've been following for quite some time. You know, I got interested in like Weck Method movements and protocols, I want to say like 3 years ago. And I've just been kind of dabbling and watching videos, teaching myself different movements. Then I did the Landmine University certification back in 21 in Maui with Alex. And then nice. I did the whole certification in 2022 with the Onnit Academy with Alex and Junior, and it was awesome. So I start learning more when it comes to coiling and understanding fascial tension and all this type of stuff. So I really appreciate having you on, and then, you know, bringing you guys here to the underground and teaching your methods to my local community is super important. So I just want to say I appreciate your time, one, and two, like the work that you guys do day in and day out. It really does have an effect on people that we don't necessarily see all the time, you know. And there are definitely trainers out there using the Weck Method methods and looking at you guys as an inspiration and trying to understand deeper methods to helping people move better, perform better, and all that. So my first question is, with these soul steps, I'm sitting on them right now, just like having this conversation with you. And sometimes I'll just sit with them underneath my feet while I'm doing work and while I'm editing or programming. What is this alleviation that I'm feeling? What is this relaxation feeling that I'm getting in my feet and in my shins? What is that?
Yeah. So the soul step is, itself is sort of designed in this way to help teach the foot, like in a stationary way, sort of the mechanics of what's going to be happening when it moves. It's kind of the closest we can get to moving without moving.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. We're like on the edge of it. And that sort of like falls in line with like the coiling principle we do. It's sort of meant to feel like you're about to move. It's like right on the edge of it. So we're training that moment, that penultimate moment. The soul step itself, like you're using it passively right now. What I really like about that is I'm not sure if I don't get as much of the like, oh, like full relaxation up the spine that maybe I would get of my foot sort of meeting the ground in the way that I would want it. But I definitely am setting myself up so that my foot, the second I go to stand up, it sort of knows where I want it to go immediately, rather than that 3.5 hour sit down, watch a movie, sitting on your fucking couch, and your foot had no idea what maybe you want it to do when you get up and you're going to go for those first couple steps. But essentially, soul steps meant to cock the heel back and drive your foot forward. So there should be this sense of moving forward when you're on it, or that ability to lean into it. You probably get what I mean by that.
Yes.
That wedging sense. Yeah. You would sort of, if you went full heel back, you would sort of get that feeling of like, I'm tilting back, which you wouldn't want to hang out there all day. It would naturally tell you to sort of lean forward. Kind of like if you were standing on a hill.
Interesting.
But then that center line pitch of it really helps create that drive into the big toe. ultimately.
Interesting. Yeah, there's definitely some, I don't know, I feel an alleviation sense when I just put my feet on here sitting down. It just feels a lot more comfortable and natural. And David was explaining this to me last year, that it basically simulates like a baby's foot when they're first progressing their walking patterns, and before they even connect to the foot, it's almost like up on this angle naturally. Mm-hmm. And I found that like super interesting, that you know, as we get older, we kind of fall out of alignment of these natural movements that we're supposed to do. You know, I watch my kid kind of grow up, and he's progressing from rolling on the ground to getting up to, you know, to a seated position, then to standing, and then standing to walking. It's like, and then you see him squat perfectly. Like, we forget how to do this stuff if we're not practicing this over and over as we get older and attend to our bodies, so to speak. So it's nice to do these movements and practice like going backwards, just like we did when we were younger, progressing and remembering sort of these movements over again for optimal health, optimal movement. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, I think regression is a huge tool that people should use in everything. I think we're very comfortable as humans in modern days, so we don't have to explore like the deepest range of things maybe like we would have had to have done. So we do definitely lose touch of those outside of our natural progression through childhood. So any way that you can help somebody calm down and sort of meet a regression and start working on those patterns again, I think is really beneficial, and trying to get to the roots of them as quick as possible. And that has a lot to do with our education, like trying to stem back to sort of fundamental human things like walking or throwing something or swinging mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Dave touched on those a lot, but I think getting back to those functions for humans in our level of comfort and then steering those towards whatever goals we have in modern times is super important.
Yes, definitely. So how did you get involved with David and this type of training? What is your athletic background? What was your training background before getting involved with WEC Method specifically?
Yeah, so athletically, I played a little football in high school. Not much there. Honestly, the weight room in high school sort of turned me off of weight training in general. I
Interesting.
Sort of steered away from it and had some bad experiences there. So what really like got me back into training was I picked up a kettlebell. I think I saw like the movie 300, and part of their kettlebell workout was like, or part of their workout or the one they put out there had a kettlebell exercise in it. And I was really fired up about that. And I started training with kettlebells, and that's sort of been my career, I would say, the mm-hmm. bulk of it. In my training career was a kettlebell coach. I think that always gave me a nice little niche anywhere I needed to be. I am always hungry for movement and feeling and trying to understand things. I usually do it in a very like internal approach. I don't always like dive into this seminar or under that coach or this type of thing. I sort of watch and listen, and I'm more intuitively watching people's movements, and that's how I'll learn. And since I've been out here in California, I sort of stumbled on a good friend of mutual friend of me and Dave's, and he connected us together and was just like, this guy is like, both of you guys need to meet. There's something that could happen here. And I came in, I mean, you've spoken to David and listened to David, but he can talk for 45 hours about one thing. And
yeah,
I came in and he was talking about running and pulsers and stuff. He was kind of just in the midst of making those sort of when I met him. And he was talking about running better, and he was showing me the side bend or the coil, which you've experienced at least in Landmine U to some yep. degree. And he was like, this is going to make you so great at running. And to be honest, at the time, I was like, I don't fucking care about running. Like, I want to lift heavier kettlebells. And I immediately didn't listen to him, but I watched him and I did everything he told me to do. I wasn't listening. I did it. And I went to feel what he was trying to get me to feel. And I felt it. And I went back to the gym and immediately set like a 45-ish pound one-arm press overhead PR. So I pressed a 68 kg kettlebell overhead, which was holy fucking shit. Ungodly at that time. Yes. For me, like, what is happening? Like, I just felt something new and I set like a huge PR. So I was like, I'm gonna go back down there and hang out with this guy and see what's going on. And I was definitely at a point in my career where I really, you were sort of, like you mentioned something a moment ago about not always recognizing how many people you're touching with information you're putting out there and stuff. And really what I was trying to do is I didn't feel like I was touching enough people with information and the energy I wanted to get out there. And it sort of fell in my lap a little bit to be with Dave, because he could not express himself in a certain way or didn't know how to get this information out to people. And I'm very much a teacher at heart, and I'm a little more progressive, regressive in thought. And I came in here and like just immediately digested the ropes and figured out how to like make that a more approachable practice, which now that thing's worldwide because of that. So very happy about that. And now we're, once that's all out there and we sort of got things cleaned up, we can really get to the work and start drilling as deep into this thought process as we can, which we're really deep into it. And we're really just in the mission of getting this spread out to as many coaches as possible. So we can have as many energy exchanges with as many humans out there as possible with this information. Cause it's just, it's rather simple and it's so beneficial, and it can help with a lot of things and help, if nothing else, create more like a clearer intention and goal within goals that we might have with an individual or in a session, which is real cool.
Of course. Yeah,
met him, set some PRs, and here I am leading the way now with him.
So. Well, that's great. It's beautiful to hear that like complimentary piece to it. Cause you know, I guess the biggest criticism of David is that like, it's always new information coming out and some people quickly write it off because it's just too much at one time and things are always changing. But to have the complimentary counterpieces yourself to simplify things, break things down, make it more digestible for people to understand, embody, and then use on themselves so that they can go ahead and teach others, I think that's beautiful. And like you were saying, like with ropes and kettlebell, like, and coiling, I feel like there's so much crossover in all those things, you know? And then when I start swinging clubs and swinging mace, single arm, double arm, whatever, I feel how each piece kind of connects with the other one. And like, there's something special to that. And I am myself a teacher at heart, and breaking some of these concepts down slowly year after year, the more I've gotten to understand this has been amazing. I've seen results with myself. I've seen results with my clients, and there's just more that I want to take in and learn and understand deeper so that I could teach it simpler and just bring it to somebody who's just starting out and get them with, you know, get them going with this as their foundation. Coiling, shifting weight from foot to foot, single-sided kettlebells, offloaded exercises, things of that nature to improve balance, improve structure, and ultimately just being more efficient with the way we move throughout our day-to-day, right? I like David's philosophy with less force, more output. I feel like today we're constantly burning the candle on both ends and people are too overstimulated. They think that more is better when really we want to just try to be as efficient as possible to get the best outcome over a longer stretch of time. So I really do like these, and I'm glad for someone like you to break this down because I'm learning so much, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about this course. I want to understand it a little bit deeper. What's the first day like? What are the second 2 days like? What are some of the tools that we use? What are some of the practices that we're going to be learning and some of the breakdowns on how to put everything together?
Yeah. So, basically I try to get as much of your time as I possibly can. So it's like a 6 to 8 hour course or day that we'll spend together, and I'm going to try to get everybody to skip lunch if I can get it to happen. And we're gonna go over, like, I'm gonna sort of paint a picture of like the fundamental principles, like stepping stone of everything that we do. And I sort of build this picture of the body from the center or the proximal core outward to the distal extremities, and the different cueing structures, the reasons behind, and the different forms of rotation that we're sort of gonna put out there in our lexicon. So I'm essentially going to try to define the thought process that every single movement that you can do as a human being is rotation, no matter what. Even when you're doing sagittal lifts and all sorts of stuff like that, it's a form of torsion or torquing that is rotation itself. Mm-hmm. So if we, I'm going to help you. You sort of mentioned the idea of you could start feeling like this dot connecting between different tools that you were using. I want to like help you start connecting these dots between all modalities, and that recognizing that the final, the most important three dots to connect are the idea of that swinging, throwing, catching, and locomoting. So however you choose to locomote, that could be brachiation, swimming, walking, running, whatever, right? And then recognizing that tools are teachers. Everything that, again, we're very comfortable as humans, and we get to sort of decide what we want to do in our fitness life. You know what I mean? And if something intrigues us and inspires us, it's, if it's a tool, if it's a modality, whatever it is, it's good. You should chase it. Like, feed your brain, go chase it, get as much out of it as you can. And if you have these principles under you while you're doing it, you'll be able to root this back to whatever you're going to move on to eventually anyways, right? Mm-hmm. And if you decide not to move on to something specific, you always have that walking foundation to come back to, at least. So your training is never invalid. Everything's always valid. You want to enjoy the learning process, be a human, go move, do all that stuff. We'll kind of go through all the thought process of that. I'll lay out some basic cue structures, simplifying things just so that you can start applying it to whatever you do. And then we start going through some of the tools that we use at WEC Method. So the easiest thing we use, we play around with elastic bands. We do a style of training called limit force elastics, which is essentially like an isometric hold.
Okay.
But when you do it with elastics, it sort of creates this feedback. That's where I said tools are teachers in regards to learning, because when you pull a band sort of to the limit of what you can, it's going to give you this excitation that's trying to return it to its shape, which is keeping you on. It's keeping you involved in whatever the movement be, and it's meeting you where you're at. So I could have an elderly woman working with it. I can have an Olympic wrestler working with the same exact band. They can be ripping it apart, and they're both receiving the same feedback and information that I'm looking for at the same time, which means I can regress and progress on the fly there very quick with a tool like that. And we can start solidifying and fortifying specific shapes or positions. You learned positions before transitions with Alex and
right.
So with bands, we'll be able to start creating whatever positions and shapes that we need to do that are maybe more relevant to specific tasks. We kind of dive from that. We take a mix between pulsers and ropes, depending on what we get into next. I would like you on ropes next. I might change that sometimes just because of the flow of a day in a session, in a training session. But if I'm able to get somebody on ropes after learning positions, they get to get this sort of integrated, like right hand to left hand. I feel like I'm in control of one tool with both sides of my bodies, and I can start moving in ways and shifting my weight. So starting to develop that idea of weight transfer without tension, because that rope is not really like, you're not going to be getting in this like, I'm working hard. It's not weight, and it's not as intense as that band that you just felt working through some coil positions. And we'll be able to start navigating space a little bit, understanding the lines that tools can move through, start feeling how our weight shifting and things like that and our core bending can sort of help with the efficiency of those patterns. And then we sort of move into a tool, which would be the pulsers, which is sort of a rhythm timing element. And it creates like a force feedback at any sort of, I would say pretty much any given position I decide to throw it at. It would sort of create a ricochet effect or a feedback to get back quickly. And what's unique about that is we'll take all that information we learned from the rope, that integration, and we're going to separate the hands from each other. So now we're feeling like that open chain, like I'm in space with this thing and I have no idea if they're going to work in conjunction to each other, but at least I have a sound and force feedback element that can start creating consistency in any rhythmic movement. And we'll be able to start associating those arm actions we'll do to specific athletic actions. So it could be like striking. They were originally designed to help you with like your running. So this idea, this double down thought process was this idea of both hands or elbows or shoulders hitting down at the same moment in the gait cycle. So we'll be able to take like that tool. We'll be able to take those arm actions, and then we can associate them to anything in the fitness world we like, and we can start doing exercise with it. and we can make sure we're getting more out of those exercises. So instead of just holding a dumbbell down at my side or something like that, when I do a split lunge or squat, like I can potentially load myself in and out using an arm action that's more relevant to the field if I'm working with a field athlete. Or if I work with a lot of MMA fighters right now, and I can work on those types of positions that I think are great for developing musculature and all that kind of stuff. And I can mimic striking patterns and core function that might relate a little closer to what they're looking to carry this over to. So that's kind of the bulk of the first day. There's a lot of information. I dump information on people. I just have to, but you get, I set very clear rules on what I want you to get out of the day. And it's honestly, I always remind people that I literally met David and I felt the coil for a minute and a half, and I'm where I am right now because of that moment. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
As long as you get that exposure to this side bend and you just stay consistent to this idea of side bending, what that range of motion is within yourself, the feel of it, the practice will evolve itself. You don't have to have tools. You don't have to have anything else. Just do what you love to do with it, and your body will start naturally picking up weight transfer in a more efficient way. That sort of meets you where you're at.
So. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah, I'm really excited to, you know, experience this. I know several coaches that have experienced the workshop at the Onnit Academy. I think you guys did it last year. So yeah. I'm excited to have it here at my gym, and it's really cool. You mentioned that you're a teacher at your heart. Where did that come from? Is that from good teachers in your life, your parents? Where is this inclination to want to help people and reach broader spectrums when it comes to your message? Like, why do you feel so inclined to have that? Because I feel the same way. And I'm not sure exactly where it comes from, but I've always had it in my soul, my heart. I've always been a teacher, it feels like. So where does that come from for you?
I'm not exactly sure. I have had really good teachers, and I definitely did look up to teachers growing up. I've been fortunate with that. And I can recall, like, when I was probably like in fourth grade or something like that, if they, like, somebody would ask you, like, what you want to do when you grow up. And I remember saying, like, I want to be a teacher. And I don't know where that came from. So it must have been something innate at that point.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say, with the teachers I've had in my life and with the exposure to me teaching people periodically through life, the energy exchange I sort of got from that was always very positive. And it was always very rewarding. So I'm sure it compounded on itself to want to do that. And naturally, like getting, I mean, just as a coach, no matter what, you're a teacher, you're working with people, and you're trying to help them establish a baseline on something. And I like to do whatever I do well, and I'm going to teach well, you know what I mean? So I'm going to be a good coach in that regard. And then just recognizing that I could get more of that energy exchange that I selfishly crave and want if I'm able to teach coaches, because then I know I get more in the room, and then I know their energy exchanges could potentially be better with people. And I know that my energy is passed on through that. You know what I mean? Like,
1,000%.
There's a little bit of a selfish need for that exchange with people. So that's what that for is, sure. Which I think is a good thing. It's a good thing,
of course. Like, you have to make sure that your cup is filled before you go and start filling the cups of others. I think that's a Paul Check philosophy that I've kind of ingrained in myself. But if you're somebody that's coaching and you're not fulfilled yourself and you're putting all your energy outwards, at some point it's going to be self-destructive. But yeah, there's some things that we have to listen to when it comes to our own inclination to do whatever it is that we do in life. And at the beginning, it has to be a little selfish because you're filling your own cup, and you have to do that in order to help fill the cups of others as a leader, you know? So yeah. Very interesting.
I know, like, most of my career, definitely early on in my career, I was very adamant about, like, firing my clients, which sounds very odd, but I would remove, even if it was detrimental to my own well-being financially or something like that, I would get rid of poor energy exchanges clientele-wise. And I think a lot of, it's hard as a coach, I think, in fitness, like, you just sort of got to get by sometimes. But I think if you're more confident with stuff like that and who you want to coach and why you want to coach them, and pricing yourself the way you want to be priced and things like that, I think you can find a lot of joy in your life if you can start learning to make sure you're working with the person that you want to work with and vice versa, and they understand that relationship is meant for both of you and not this one way suck up
right. energy type thing. That's an amazing point. And I've found myself in the same position, having to let go of certain customers that didn't fit the vibe of what I was trying to accomplish or the right person that I was trying to work with. Yeah, I've been in that position, and it is one of those gutsy calls, especially if like financially you'll suffer here and there, but if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. And then it makes your whole day like just weird. You know, I used to be a high school teacher for 6 years. And there were certainly many moments in that part of my life where it just didn't feel right. Like I had to self-censor because there are certain things that you can't say, even though you may want to say them. And you're always kind of nervous about potentially getting fired or reprimanded. And it's not how I wanted to live my life, so to speak, day in and day out. So to have the courage to be like, hey, this is not my venue here where I'm supposed to be teaching. I'm going to go figure out a way to create my own space where people could come in and I can just be the best version of myself, teaching in my genuine, authentic way possible without any of the self-censor, without any, somebody else looking over me. It's just a lot freer, you know, and it feels so much better, you know?
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'm glad you found that.
Oh, well, yeah. Thank you. I mean, it's just, that's what life is all about, right? Going into a certain endeavor, thinking this is what you want, but then also paying attention to the feedback. What are you getting? So making that analogy with the movement too, right? We pay attention to feedback when it comes to using tools like propulsors or anything with moving water or bands or whatever, to understand what it is that we're trying to get out of this or whatever the ripple effect might become. So like, yeah, I listened to the feedback in that certain situation that I was in. I was like, no, I got to find another way to do this. And that's like the beauty of life, right? And that's why we keep ourselves fit, healthy, physically, mentally, emotionally, to get in alignment with what those things are. Like, what are your truest core values? And are you living those things out day in and day out? I know we're getting a little philosophical and moving away from the physical part of everything, but like, it's a major piece to long-term health and wellness performance, I really believe. So yeah, finding the right customers, finding the right style of coaching, finding the right space to do it in, and you know, the right people will follow and be attracted. So I digress.
I think it's good. I don't think you digress so much though, because I think paying attention to your physical practice, like you just said, is a huge component to paying attention to like your emotional, mental well-being and spirituality, whatever it be. But like, I think the physical side of it, because it's something you can feel, if you can start bringing that mental side into it, it's just so important for the rest of your life. And I think that's a hard part for people. So,
oh, 1,000%, 1,000%.
Yeah.
You said something about how, strength training in high school or strength training with football, resonate with you, and you had some bad experiences. Could you break some of that down? Because, you know, I train a lot of youngsters and I want to put them in the right direction when it comes to understanding how their body works, correct strength training, proper performance, positioning, cueing, all that stuff. So break that down. What was like your experience like, and why was it a negative one? And what can some of these youngsters that are in these conventional style of weight training programs look for when it comes to red flags or what have you?
Yeah. So a couple things. So I was, the big one is my brother's 4 years older than me, exactly. So like, he just left high school. I popped in. My brother was like all-state tight end, defensive end. He's 6'4", 250 pound, like solid athlete. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I come in freshman. I'm 5'10". I'm 160 pounds, and I'm not the same human, but they're expecting Chamberlain. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm athletic as fuck and stuff too, and strong as beef for my side comparative. But sort of immediately, like varsity football and like getting pushed in the gym and just this, I was a little more of like a self driven type strength person. I grew up as a carpenter. I always say this on everything I do. I was a carpenter until I was technically 25, working with my father and my brother. And you just have to be strong. You just have to get shit done. There's only two or three of you on the job site. And I've built houses from scratch. I've had to move a lot of really awkward, heavy things in my life and put them in very strange places. And that you create a sense of your own strength and how you need to apply it. And then what sort of happened to me was I got put into that weight room, and it was very much a go in there on Wednesday night after school and you got to get your gym shit done, and they have the board and you just check off what you did. And there was just sort of poor coaching on it. There wasn't really like, I don't know. The coaching that did come in was more the problem. It was like they were trying to correct something on me when I sort of felt a certain way when I was lifting heavy. Mm. And it just made me not feel good. And I just kind of didn't like the environment. So I actively will take myself out of environments very fast if I'm not into it. And I was not into it. So I sort of ditched football and moved on to class presidency and just sort of excelled there and put my efforts more into that. And then, I just kept my physicality as my physicality, how it was, like very practical, working on summers and working after school with my dad and moving heavy things. And we grew up on property in Virginia, so I had to take care. I'd drag trees my whole life and
love it.
Move stuff, you know what I mean? So I wasn't not getting strong. So the daily chores of having to deal with all that was very good. But the gym, I just felt like the mentality was very odd. The checkbox, get this shit done. Like, that's what had to be done. I didn't really vibe well with. I was already at that point very intuitive with myself and trusting in what my body needed that day rather than what coach was telling my body needed that day, because I could sense the lack of care on their side of what actually needed to be done for me, which is not always a product of them. It's hard to have that many energy exchanges with children after school, I'm sure, in the high school football program. But that's what I needed as a person then. And I could sense that for myself. So
interesting.
Which again, I don't know where that intuitiveness maybe started with me, but I think the quicker you can sense somebody's getting that and helping them sort of feed that, the better their practice would be in whatever. So, so that just never really felt well. I had a real bad relationship doing power cleans and all the Olympic lifts and stuff like that. They just felt terrible on my body.
I feel the same way. Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like conventional lifting is a great start. It got me into the gym because I had this inclination to want to be strong and have a fit body and, you know, really perform better for my sports. You know, I understood that right away, but then after sports was over, you're like, well, how can I keep this going? How can I feel good about myself? And you're trying to figure out ways that you could kind of like attach your character and have these types of, what do you call that? Identities, right? Like, it's my identity that I can deadlift 500 pounds or bench press 315 or whatever. And that's reinforced also with the strength programs. Like, you're not a real football player unless you're benching 250 and you're wearing the shirt that says I bench 250, and it becomes an identity. But as you get older, you mature, your intuition starts to develop and grow and morph. And you're like, well, why do I have to keep doing this 315 pound bench if my elbows and my shoulders are achy and I'm just not feeling the best afterwards, and it takes several days to heal, and I can't do the things that I have to do in my real world because this is like hindering me here? I quickly understood, like, okay, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I got into coaching people right away. So like, I was an 18-year-old trainer, and like, knowing that I want to do this for my career, I don't want to be behind a desk and do spreadsheets and contribute to somebody else's success. I want to figure out new skills on my own and figure out how to build this. Right. And then little by little, you start learning about single-sided crossbody exercises. I guess that's the first thing where it's like, okay, well, this is going to potentially balance me back up. You understand the concept of, I'm holding the kettlebell on one side. One side's got to stabilize and fire, and you're doing one side club or one side press. I'm like, okay, this is interesting to me. This is strength in a new aspect. So this leads to my next question. You're known as somebody on the social media platforms as somebody who's like crazy strong, right? You can move heavy weights, but like, what's your definition of strength? Because there could be strength in a lot of ways. How often do you ponder this concept? But, you know, what is your intuitive definition of strength, and how many different areas does that kind of translate into?
Yeah, that's funny. I always love when people think I'm strong. I'm like, all right, I guess. I don't know. Maybe you just don't know a lot of strong people, because I don't think I'm that strong, but I'm relatively strong, I guess.
I mean, a 68 kg overhead press.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm determined is more what it is.
Okay.
I get stuff done. You know what I mean?
Which is a facet of strength, right?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I see what you're getting at. So, yeah, I think, most of my probably training, that identity that I always had, sort of went along with that GPP, the generalist, being prepared for anything at any given point. But I feel like sometimes when people take that approach, they don't always approach a lot of modalities in that thought process. They probably approach intensities in their training or in their own specific modality. So like the volume and intensity of stuff, but I really chase skill sets. So I've very early on I like to dive into something, become moderately good at it, and then sort of dive out and dive into the next thing and just keep doing that. And I've sort of done that probably since I was 18. I think most people sort of do some level of that.
Sure.
To a degree now. There's a lot of information out there in fitness, so there's lots of fun stuff to go explore. What I found out very early was about 3 steps into that, I started feeling like I was losing a modality, and then I was just moving on to the next one. You know what I mean? And now I'm starting to lose something I gained a lot of information from that was beneficial to me, that I loved, but it's gone now. Like, I didn't feel like I could retain it. And in the past 5-ish years, I guess now, since I've started doing this, what this sort of became immediately for me was I recognized that this was the dot that connected the dots. That idea of side bending, or at this point, how I would call it, would be just recognizing all things are rotation. And if you can recognize the style of rotation it is from the trunk, you can find the carryover to any of the modalities. At least that's how I paint the picture for myself and my students. And what I do now is I can retain anything I dive into, and I can pull it back to the center, so that when I try something new, I already am good at the new thing because I have something to root it to. I have a practice built under that new thing that I don't know yet, that I know stuff in. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And maybe even routes that I can explore in it that people don't know, which is the thing I love, because I'm a creative individual and I love to create in things I go into. I don't always love thinking that somebody knows it all and that I have to learn everything they have to know. I want to explore and find things to offer that person as well. Because I know as a coach, I'm looking for my students to offer me things I don't know yet. And I'm constantly looking at that. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
In the style of training I do, there's a lot of room for feeling things for yourself and developing something for yourself to share with others that hasn't been explored yet, which is crazy to even think that there's movement that people aren't tapping in a certain way yet, or things like that. But strength, I mean, strength ultimately is having something that carries over to other things for me. So simply
put that.
And yeah, for me, I would chase sagittal lifts still, chase heavy weight, chase volume, chase single-sided things, like whatever floats your boat on that. But as long as you feel like it's carrying over, then I'm a happy camper. I think you're strong. So a lot of people I've met that they don't have the physical capacity I have, but I feel like they're strong. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they are able to carry over the things they want. And those are, they're getting what they need out of that practice and put it into the things they want.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Can you give me some examples of some of your MMA fighters or anybody that you work with professionally that's kind of done this style of training that has come out on the other end with a stronger X, Y, or Z punch, kick, better in the ring, better on the field? Is there anything that rings a bell or that you can think of right away that might be like a good example of that?
Yeah. Right now, I would say the biggest practitioner I have of this that I work with is Angela Hill. So Angie Overkill on Instagram.
Okay.
She's one of the first women fighter in the UFC, and she's still going strong. You know what I mean? I think Angie's probably 38-ish at this point. I can't swear by that, but We've been working together probably a solid 3 years now, I think. So we've had quite a few fight camps. She's in here twice a week, every week, maybe even awesome. Three times a week with me. And she's one of the only people I feel like that can hold up with me on the movement practice, I would say. At least in regards to just student alone. And then, and every fight's a little different, but there's definitely very key differences in all of her fights based on what we were working on in each event based on this. And the biggest thing is the weight transfer, because we're trying to work on a little more power behind the punches that come out and kicks and all that. But
so how would you set a workout, give me an example of maybe like a base workout for her to implement weight transfer in the feet and building more power behind the punches? How would you set something up like that?
Yeah, so early in the training, it's sort of establishing the positions and then sort of still regulating the session, so not making it a total learn fest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
You still need to move. You're a professional athlete. I want to get you working.
Yeah, right.
I do a lot of puzzles almost in a sense, little like choreography type things that I sort of develop with them, most of my athletes at the beginning of the session. It's usually something that builds speed. So I'll use a lot of, especially early on, it'll be a lot of like med ball work, because it's a little simpler. It's a little more familiar probably.
Okay.
To the athlete. And I'll sort of start building coordinations. And I won't always lay out the final piece. There's not really always a final piece, but I'll start with a very simple coordination. Right leg, left leg, throw ball, right? And I'll usually set them up in a way that they will transfer their weight fully. I don't even care if they're coiling at this point, to be honest. I'll usually have exposed them to a position like that, but then I'm going to get them to those weight transfers that sort of make them move where I want them to move. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll work on that until I sort of can see a sense of comfort and a level of speed and power coming from it. And then we'll sort of add little pieces or steps to the sequence. And then we'll just sort of build speed and power within that. We just sort of do that. I think that's one of the easiest ways that I sort of will warm somebody up in a sense without like taking the time to warm up. We're sort of getting right to speed and power.
Yeah.
And we're getting the mind stimulated. And I'll throw some like rope stuff after it, maybe to just work on coordination stuff. But that's probably one of the biggest things I do, is sort of these little like puzzles at the beginning to develop speed and put in a lot of effort and always have a level of weight transfer. And what you'll start noticing, which if you did landmine, you should have started noticing, is like every movement is technically the same movement almost. Like you're always hitting the same position, mm-hmm. just switching sides.
Yeah, switching sides. Or
the distal extremities might be doing something a little different, but your core is
always mimicking
the same positions, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get people exposed to that and trying to get away from their distal extremities and how those aren't the things I need you to focus on. Sometimes those will just be the product of what's happening. Your brain is telling you what to do. You're throwing a punch. And like all that stuff's going to kind of happen. But if it's not rooted back and it's not generating from where I want it to generate, then I'm not going to get the best result type thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I spend a lot of time. The sessions are less about sets and reps. We get a lot of volume in, and intensity in, but it's more about hitting the same positions in as many ways as possible. And then just that I'm very, again, like I said, intuitive. I'm intuitive in my programming on the fly and making sure that if I have to present a new tool or something, that if I'm not immediately getting what I wanted from it, I move out of it.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, my clients are fine with that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not that like,
yes.
Oh, we were just squatting. I'm like, I don't care. It wasn't what I wanted.
Because
I know what it felt like when I didn't want to be squatting. And if you don't know that you should be squatting now, but I can sense sort of you're not getting the feedback that I want, I'll move you out of it. So there's an intuitive touch to that, but the biggest thing would be this idea of weight transfer first. There's so many things you can get into, but if I don't have the positions, and then I don't have your ability to shift your weight and hit those positions comfortably, then I can't really get in personally, I don't think, into a lot of the nuance of what I would like to do that I believe could help generate a lot of extra stuff like power and efficiency and things. But
very cool.
I don't know if that answered it. It's kind of it. Weight transfer.
Yeah, no, I get it. You start with one thing, you build the foundation, and then slowly but surely, once you start seeing the progression and the understanding of each movement, then you can become more complex or add a different tool or whatever the case may be, but also just see that things are morphing and building on itself as opposed to something not working. And having the understanding that, hey, it's not working, we're not going to do it that way. Let's regress or move to someplace else.
Yeah, and I'll follow a lot of like the hierarchies of intensity and volume and sets and reps that people use. So I'll sort of throw those in there, like 5x5s or 4x4s.
Sure.
Work fast and then work slow, high volume or whatever. And
yeah.
And I'll do push pull days, or like I'll have thought process of that. I'll steer around just because that's been a lot of my career too. So
sure.
And those work and people resonate with those things. So I'm happy to do that. But
so it's
almost irrelevant.
That particular fighter that you were talking about, she comes in with you, works out twice a week. And then how does she schedule her other strength days outside of that? I'm sure she works with different coaches as well.
But she does a ton of work with other specific stuff. She's like a judo coach. And yeah, she's doing a ton.
Got it.
But I don't even keep track of all that. And I honestly don't care. I don't really have a problem. I think people are really caught up in like recovery and stuff right now. And stuff. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And I'm like, I just don't really care about that stuff. I don't know.
About recovery?
I don't know. Yeah, just kind of work. You should be able to fill that out for yourself. Like if you feel like you need to be in someplace working, go work. Like, it doesn't matter if you did the same thing yesterday. Like, I've had most of my greatest, like, breaking, like, feats and things like that have come usually when I feel like just trash, like absolute trash. And just mentally being able to be determined to move something, I feel like there's been a lot of benefit of that. I think that's also the understanding of not to overdo something on yourself, like that level of I'm not doing anything that's gonna hurt me. Yeah. Only stuff I've ever been hurt with, or anybody around me been hurt, is usually just something stupid. It's not the movement. I'd usually drop really weird things on me that have nothing to do with fitness. It's me carrying like just crap around when we're moving or something like that. I'll drop a table on me or something like that. I'm like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
But hilarious. Yeah, but I think I don't even sleep a lot myself. I probably only sleep 4, 5, 6 hours maybe.
Really?
And I eat all right. I eat well, but don't sleep a lot, not as much as I'd like. My kid's a night owl. And that just, you can, if you're determined, you just want to move and feel good. And I think like if you're looking maybe to put on, like if I'm trying to stack and put some weight on me and things like that, sleep, recovery, things like that become a little more of an essence. But if you're just looking for movement, really strong movement practice and develop strength, I feel like that maybe becomes less important.
Sure.
Not that it's not important. But
I think, to each their own, and with recovery specifically. Like, there are some people that get by with 5 hours of sleep, no problem, and continue to function high level, like an Elon Musk or whatever. Like, he just has a different capacity for work and intuition, creativity, whatever it is that he's doing. I mean, it goes for everybody, right? They have their individual level of what they need to become the best version of themselves. Not to say every single athlete or high performer has to do the same recovery that the next guy's doing, you know? I understand that too. It's just to each their own thing. But let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit about fatherhood, because, I talked to the crazy trainer, Jared Cardona, and I did this interview right after he came back from a weekend at WEC Method. And I was asking him about you and what it was like working out with you and stuff like that. And he said to me that guy loves being a father. And he said that to me right before my kid was born. So, my kid's 18 months old. I love everything about being a father and just watching the kid just develop and morph. And, you know, I'm very cognizant of how I do my daily things now because he's a sponge and watching everything. I just kind of wanted to get your philosophy when it comes to fatherhood and, you know, how many kids you have and how important that is to your day after day. So like, talk to me a little bit about that and what you've experienced, the ups and the downs.
Yeah, I mean, it's all up for me. Absolutely. Awesome. Completely up. And it's just been the most fortunate father ever, I feel like. But yeah, I mean, that's my life, man. My little guy is my life. Unfortunately, I get to be with him just a ton. I would almost say that I'm his primary parental unit. He loves me to death right now. And I'm eating that up as long as I can. I feel like I was very fortunate, like during COVID, sort of when we got locked up, he was young and I sort of got this nice little just stint of being with him throughout the developmental portion of his life.
Yeah.
And I just got to be there just constantly. And, I think that was really big on like my relationship with him. But, yeah, I've loved watching his whole process. I don't know. That's his whole little journey to go through.
What was life like your professional career like before the kid, and now that you have a kid, how has that changed, and how much more cognizant are you of where you're spending your time and all that?
I mean, I actually, right when he was born, popped on with Weck Method over here. So I was training 7 days a week, 4 a.m. to 10 p.m. You know what I mean? Like, I was pretty much that coach. I'll be there when I needed to be. And being here has definitely been a little more of a steady kind of 9-to-5 thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to dabble my time with being with him as a father. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you want to dig into specifically.
You get him into any, like, movement patterns or have some fun with it, because I have this these golf clubs that my kid uses, and as opposed to hitting the ball, which we do sometimes, like we're doing like shield casts and inside circles and squats and stuff. So he likes like throwing the clubs around and pretending that he's throwing and all this stuff, and he makes the sound effects. And it's just, do you get into any movement stuff with them or playing sports yet? Like, how old is your son?
He's 5 and a half. Okay. I don't like push a lot on him in that regard. No. Honestly, if any video, pretty much any video you watch me in, he's usually right behind the camera. If you've seen anything on my end. So I'm more have been in front of him. He sees that as normal, probably.
Yeah, right.
Moving around like that. My wife is a similar way. She's an aerialist and is the same way around him. So he's around a lot of that. He comes to the lab with me constantly. He's best friends with Angie. Like he works out with her rep for rep a lot of the time. I don't really push movement on him so much. I sort of let him navigate that himself. I would say the only thing we like really do heavily was we build a lot of obstacle courses together. And then we do it. I don't know.
Cool. Well, yeah, that's awesome, man. I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit about fatherhood. I'm 18 months in and enjoying every second.
The biggest thing is I listen to him and I listen to what he needs and I navigate that and not what I need, if that makes sense.
Yeah, brilliant.
That would be the most important thing I would kind of put there. So that's why I can't even say I push him towards anything, because I sort of listen to what he needs and I participate in what he needs. And that would be the biggest thing that I would offer to somebody, is listen to it, actually listen to it, and then participate in it too actively. And I think that will create a strong bond, and it will put you outside your realm, maybe on things that you would have thought you would have done, or you'll probably put yourself in places you wouldn't normally be. So you'll learn yourself and grow as well with them, and you'll grow together, which is really awesome.
Totally.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your insight on that. You know, it's cool talking to other dads and just kind of hearing some advice. It's great. So it's been an hour. I want to stick to the time limit here. I'm sure you're a busy guy. You got a lot of stuff going on. So let's leave everybody with a little bit of information about the workshop here, the seminar certification course here at Underground Fitness Studio, July 12th, 13th, 14th. You guys will be out here teaching the 3-day course. The links will be in the show notes, so I'll put all that out there. We don't have to run that down. But is there anything that you want to leave anybody with when it comes to this course?
The number one thing is try to come for all 3 days if you can. Break it up however you need. We do. It's a level one and level two. But if I can get you for those 3 days, there is just something about immersing yourself in a practice for that period of time that is just very helpful for it digesting in a way that's going to be meaningful for you.
Perfect.
So I cannot recommend that enough outside of just like, I'd love to teach you and everything too, but I am going to dump a ton of energy on you. When I coach in person, I very much am a fluid coach. I've kind of presented that a little bit. So everyone is a little different. I have sort of a curriculum and a layout, but I don't care about a curriculum and layout per se. I want to make sure that each individual there is sort of getting what they need out of an event like that, and that they'll be able to bring it back to their specific modality or whatever. So I work with a very wide array of coaching styles. So I think I have a little bit of an art of being able to present stuff to a lot of different styles like that. So being cool with me as long as possible to get what you need is very, very important. So
awesome. I'm really looking forward to it and absorbing as much as I possibly can. But yeah, man, I'm really excited. And yeah, that's it. So I appreciate you. Check out Chris Chamberlain, Weck Method, David Weck. Thank you for listening to the podcast, everybody. Much love.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you are interested in the rotational movement course here at Underground Fitness Studio, July 12th, 13th, and 14th, the sign-up links will be in the show notes. So thank you so much for your attention today and listening all the way through. If you made it this far, we look forward to having you here at Underground Fitness Studio in July, specifically July 12th, 13th, and 14th. Excited to host this event and excited to meet some new people and interact and have some fun talking fitness.